Beast High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 83 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 83 starts with Mrs. Bolton looking at Chad and ends with Troy lying on his bed.
Yes, and not the good kind of lying in your bed. You know, sleeping.
Like sleeping? Okay. I was like, no, but I think it's a coping mechanism for him, for better or worse. We've seen him do this before.
All right.
But let's get there.
Start from the beginning of minute 83.
It's a very good place to start.
All right. So, yeah, we get this quick half a second look that Mrs. Bolton gives to Chad as Troy walks away. It's just a good, like, editing gag of, like, we saw him walk away and then we cut back to the people. Like, that's what you do in a comedy thing.
Yeah.
You get reaction shots.
I think it's also, like, Mrs. Bolton is urging Chad to follow Troy, which he does do. Like, it's a, hey, go look after your friend there.
Maybe. I don't think enough time really goes by for that to be communicated with what we see, but that's easy to intuit. All right. So it's this conversation between Gabriella and Troy.
Gabriella has been there for 2 weeks?
I'm so confused.
So and it starts out with Gabriella being like, it took 2 weeks for me to be away from you and East High and all my friends to, like, really settle in.
To get used to it. Like, yeah. To stop missing you. I don't.
And it doesn't seem like it's missing because, like, she's crying.
Yeah, I mean, she's crying because she has to make this phone call and, like, deliver the bad news. There's many things going on here. And I don't want to be one of those podcasts that, like, not deliberately, but, like, somewhat actively chooses to be ignorant about, like, reading into the subtext or, like, just be like, it doesn't make any sense. Or, like, it kind of does make sense if you think about it for, like, more than 2 seconds.
It makes sense that she's still having big feelings about Troy and, like, leaving him and stuff because she's been dealing with this all movie. But the Stanford Honors Program makes zero sense. She's there for multiple weeks at the end of her school term. Like, she's missing school for 3 weeks?
Yeah, she's missing high school and all of her finals and AP classes. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, like, that you're getting your diploma matters more than almost anything else to colleges.
Yeah, and this thing that Troy says, he's like, you're supposed to be on a plane. Like, yeah, you book flights. Like, where's your mom?
Yeah.
Are you guys just, like, staying in a hotel? Did you move to California just now? What is happening?
There is so much with Gabriella and this half of the movie that makes no sense. Like, they've deliberately omitted information that makes it super confusing. Maybe it's in the junior novelization. Maybe I have to go get that from our library again. Like, but I shouldn't have to read the junior novelization to understand why the heck Gabriella has been there for 2+ weeks and why there's a plane ticket involved. Like, this is a huge gap.
I shouldn't have to read the books to understand the movie is not a phrase I ever thought I'd hear about High School Musical 3.
Yeah.
Not to defend the movie, but, like I said earlier, like, not to be one of those people that just, like, says, hey, it doesn't make sense. Theoretically, there's this idea that, like, Gabriella has difficulty maintaining relationships. She has a difficulty settling into a place. That's theoretically something that's been established.
Yes.
That's theoretically something that's been established about her character. But honestly, for the last movie and a half, not really. Like, she was hesitant to settle into East High in the first movie. But all in the last movie, she seemed pretty confident. And the nervousness has been about going off to college and what that will mean about her relationship. But it's kind of like an overcorrection type thing where it's like, now you're nervous about not being in a, no, that's not what it is, but.
She went through a breakup without telling Troy they broke up. Because she went away for 2 weeks. Like, if you think about it, she's like, oh, this is practice, or this is, I've set my brain in the, Troy and I are not together anymore because I've set my brain to, this is how it's going to be in the fall.
Yeah, the weird thing is that Gabriella is not, she's not some, like, Manic Pixie Dream Girl character. She's not Enid from Ghost World or any of these characters who are like, I need to go and see the world and be and discover who I am.
Mm-hmm. She knows who she is.
There's nothing about this movie that's like, oh, Gabriella is going to just disappear one day and drift amongst the stars because she's just a dreamer who goes for what she wants. And, like, doesn't have attachments. She is in a long-term committed relationship.
And they seemingly had discussions of how it was going to work long distance. Like, and for her to all of a sudden be like, I don't think this is going to work. And I'm going to just say goodbye now. Like,
I'm trying to think of it, like, even if all of the plot contrivances about the Stanford Honors Program weren't there, like, would this make sense from a character perspective? And, like,
I think so, because Gabriella needs people around her. Like, she's expressed trouble keeping friends because they move so much. She's not good at keeping up with people when they're not together, kind of thing, which is totally something that happens. I have that issue. Like, the extra effort it can take to maintain friendships when you're not in the same state as them can be very tricky.
I guess we're supposed to see this as like a low point for Gabriella, even though the movie's kind of playing it as a low point for Troy.
Because it's the Troy story.
Troy Story 3.
Yeah. And they always have a hard time focusing in on other people's stories, and instead, how does it relate to Troy?
Yeah, and this is what I've said, I guess, several times throughout these movies. Like, if you want to make it about this, then you have to make it about that. Like, focus in on Gabriella's story. Show us what's going on at Stanford that makes her not want to go back. Have some other seated foreshadowing moments where she, like, we hear that her mom is moving sooner than she thought, or any number of things, whether it be like logistical or character based, that show us, oh, Gabriella's not being quite as honest with Troy as she could be.
Yeah, like maybe the requested transfer that Gabriella's mom placed for after graduation got processed too early and they have to move to the San Francisco Bay Area now. Like, maybe that happened and that was a mistake on the job's part. But for just a random for sale sign to go up, it makes it very confusing on the audience.
Yeah. Like I said before, it just doesn't seem like Gabriella is this aloof character who's just going to disappear on people. I get that there's this like background of like her being flighty, but we've gotten nothing to this point that's saying, oh, Gabriella's just going to cruelly leave all of her friends.
Yeah.
It's selfish, and again, it doesn't feel like there's going to be redemption. I guess there has to be. Like, I guess she's going to come back. But
yeah, you distinctly said you were not expecting Gabriella to cancel on prom. Like, this is a prediction you made weeks ago that you were like, where's the conflict going to go from here? Because Gabrielle is going to come back for prom. Like,
I said that because there's no logical way for the movie to have her stay. But I guess you don't need the logic.
Yeah, you just logic to the wind.
So, okay, there's a couple more things I want to say here. She's sitting in this like park bench in the middle of this like little grassy area that's like kind of between some shrubs. It's kind of like a quartered off like movie shot. Yeah. Area where you're like, okay, this is the 40 square feet that you were able to get for your movie while the rest of the world happens around you because we're outside.
Yeah. I wonder, is she wearing a different outfit? Did we check that?
I think she's wearing the same like orange outfit.
Okay. So this is all, presumably it's not in the same day anymore from the last time we saw her, but she maybe only brought a limited wardrobe because she was going to be there. Like, she's had to do laundry.
I mean, yes. Yeah, so two ways to think of it, about it. Either from the filmmaking way, they shot all the Stanford stuff in one day because yes,
that's easier.
Obviously, we're not putting any effort into it. And part two. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like she's wearing the same orange tank top type thing with the T for Troy necklace. But I will be willing to be corrected there. Or, yeah, she only brought three outfits with her because she thought it was going to be a short-term trip, and then it turned into a long-term trip, which is something that happens, but silly in this case.
Yeah. I'm so stuck on it having been 2 weeks. Like, time in these movies has always been tricky for us.
Well, the first movie was kind of nice because it took place in an arbitrary amount of time between, you know, first auditions for the musical and callbacks, which, you know, I guess took place roughly over 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, but there's also a basketball championship happening in then the end of January. Like, because it's...
Yeah, I guess that takes place in like a February zone, so
yeah, so there's just
that's one where it doesn't super matter, at least.
And then we also have High School Musical 2, where Gabriella leaves at some point in the middle of the summer, but we don't know how long it's been since they all started working there.
And then she comes back and is like, has it been 6 weeks since Troy has even seen her, or
yeah,
a couple days? Yeah. But again, the first two movies kind of get away with it in a way that this third one, I guess, doesn't.
No, I think in part because it so heavily relies on specifically timed things like prom and graduation. Like, those are have specific time connotations to them. Where the Spring Musicale, I'll use our school district as an example. The Spring Musicale is happening next week from when we're recording, which is early to mid-April. And then you have that happening at the same time as prom and graduation being the following week. Like, it ramps the time into something unfeasible.
Yeah, senior prom, I guess, is closer to graduation usually, but it's not...
It usually kicks off senior week.
Yeah, it's not like within the same day. It's usually a week or two apart.
Yeah.
All right. So in the little like park area that Gabrielle is sitting in, mm-hmm. there's like a guy on a bench behind her or whatever. It doesn't super matter. There's also this little bike rack where she's like parked her bike. But it's very stupid looking because there's just like a four bike width bike rack just like sitting in the grass, which is not where you put bike racks, really. It's just kind of there because we saw that Gabriella had a bike before, and so now the bike's got to still be in the shot. It's just parked at the bike rack. It's not locked up or anything. That doesn't super matter. She's 2 feet away from the bike rack sitting on a bench. And it looked very cheap to me.
Yeah, the whole, like, it's nice that Troy is in his room so that when we're there, there's at least something to look at. Because Gabriella's place is kind of nothing. They, like, don't actually, I wonder if it's so green and there's so many plants to differentiate it from East High, where the only place that has known plants is the roof.
How about on the roof? Yeah. All right. Last thing. Gabriella says something to the effect of, what, so I come back for prom and then leave again after that, and then I come back to graduate. East High and then leave again. It's like, yeah, Gabriella, that's how going to college works. You leave and then you come back and then you leave and then you come back. It's awkward.
The other weird thing is, why would she leave again? She has finals to do. Like, for her to leave, like, go to prom, leave, and then go back for graduation. Like, does that mean she's got another week in the Stanford Honors Program? Like, is this honors orientation a month long? Like,
yeah,
I have lots of time issues with this scene.
Yeah, I don't think we need to say any longer.
No,
that
I know, but it just literally, like,
makes zero sense. But point taken, absolutely.
Yeah, for her to be griping about, like, leaving and coming back kind of thing, it's like,
she's run out of goodbyes.
Her fixation on goodbye, like, it's not a finality thing. You inadvertently run into people, or you can stay in contact with them. Like, you don't have to lock them out of your, like, oh, I can't see you. Like, Gabriella presumably has the ability to interpret impermanence. Like,
and it's, I mean, people didn't feel like this before there were cell phones and social media and everything.
Yeah, you wrote letters.
People wrote letters and stuff, like, but and she's in an era of cell phones. Like,
she's talking the first on movie the phone starts. To Troy.
The first movie starts with her giving her cell phone number to this boy that she doesn't think she's ever going to see again.
Yeah. But she can't actually keep up with the relationship from afar. Which is wild to me.
And then the conversation ends beautifully with Gabriella saying, "I love you, Wildcat. But I'm not coming back." Hang up. Start crying on the bench in the middle of a park. No goodbye.
No goodbye, because she's run out of goodbyes. Don't forget that. She yes. can't say goodbye anymore. Her counter is up. She only had so many goodbyes to give, and she used them up a long time ago.
It's like that Justin Timberlake movie where they have the time on their
yeah, I was forearms, thinking that too. Yeah.
Except it's number of goodbyes.
And, like, I don't know about you, but I always think, I don't remember.
That's the difference between you and me. You always think, I never think.
I just don't remember if it's a Destiny's Child song or, like, a Pussycat Doll song. There's a song where they're, like, he calls me baby when we're alone. Like, he doesn't call me by my name.
I have no idea.
My brain's not really running fully right now, but, like, there's that suspicion when you're not being called by your name in a relationship. But Gabriella does that all the time, which is just super weird. And it's this weird connection that, like, means nothing to most people. But, like, she has a lot of nicknames for Troy, and it's, like, my cultural reference.
It does feel like it's almost a distancing method when she calls him Wildcat or Hoops. Basketball boy or something like that.
Hoops man. No, wait, that's Kelsey.
I love just going back to that. Kelsey trying to be flirty like Gabriella, but it not working. Yeah, so funny to me. Gabriella hangs up and she has a good, like, I'm about to cry in the middle of this public park face.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chad has been looming in the doorway to console Troy, potentially.
And is it Troy who says she's not coming back, man.
Yeah.
And then Chad says, like, not at all, like, not even to prom.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's like, and we'll talk about more with the Chad conversation in the next minute, because that's the entirety minute. Of the next minute. Yeah. But like, in terms of like character setup, like, I guess Chad is the character you want for this scene.
Yeah.
Like, you could also have Mike Bolton there.
I feel like that wouldn't work, though. Not where we've left our relationship with Mike. We have not resolved pre-Scream.
And the weird thing is, like, the Boys Are Back was like a big song for being like, ah, yes, Trad and Choi.
Well, that's just their coupling name is Trad.
Well, we got a title for the episode, Trad and Choi. They are bros to the end. Like, they will always be there for each other, but that doesn't feel like it's been, like, with what we know about Troy's feelings going forward, like, it doesn't feel like it's his path to, like, be bros with Chad. So there's also this thing, like, well, he had a whole song about how he was friends with you, and but there wasn't, like, a tinge of irony there.
No.
I'm trying to, is there like an ironic version of You've Got a Friend in Me that's like, you've got a friend in me, but only until 9 o'clock, and then I gotta go.
I feel like you have What Is This Feeling and Popular from Wicked that both have that like force proximity. I have to not like you, but have to tolerate you, and you're my new project. Like, I feel like Wicked might have a couple examples of that.
I've famously never seen Wicked.
I know, because I haven't been down there to see it with you.
I know. I've been thinking about just ditching you and going to see it by myself. But
absolutely not.
All right.
I'll shut down the podcast. Delete it all.
If you find out.
I know everything.
Anyway. Troy does a classic thing where he like tries to throw his phone on the bed and then it rolls off the bed because he threw it a little too hard.
Yeah. Classic.
Great moment. It's classic, like, especially with the older phones where they were a little heavier and less like flat.
Yeah. They bounce.
The thing that he doesn't do because it's an older phone is like immediately run over to see if it got cracked or something.
Yeah. He's like, ah, that thing's indestructible. It's a flip phone.
But shout out to the movie Eighth Grade where that does happen. She throws her phone across the room and then it immediately breaks. And she's like, oh, no, why did I do that?
Yeah. Yeah, Troy, like, flops on his bed and does almost like a... He's not fully, like, princess crying on the bed like a Cinderella or a Snow White where they're just, like... kneeling on the side of the bed weeping, but like he definitely has some of that vibe of like exasperated.
Yeah, and Chad hits him with an almost Zuko like,
yeah,
that's lousy, comma, man.
Yeah. couple words and we'd have had that's rough, buddy. But I feel like that'd have been weird coming out of Chad's mouth.
No, I feel like that's rough, buddy. Like, he could call him buddy pretty easily.
He tends to be more of a man or bro, though. He is a Chad.
Yeah, but they are buddies.
I don't know. Buddy just seems too childish to come out of Chad's mouth.
But here's the thing, like, bro or man, like, that's a little bit, like, too casual. Like, you can say bro or man to anyone. Buddy, you only say to your buddy. Or to someone you're trying to, like, condescend to in a bar fight, I guess.
Oh, buddy.
Like, no, more like, easy there, buddy. And then that just makes them more angry. Anyway.
So, we end up in this weird place of, like, quiet contemplation. Like, Troy's processing right now, and he's about to verbally process as well.
I guess it's logical for the phone call conversation to just end. Like, sometimes in real life, those conversations like go on for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But in a movie, like, you want the conversation to just be over so that you can do the next thing.
Yeah, Gabriella didn't want to cry on the phone.
I would appreciate a movie that was, I mean, this happens in the Tom Hardy movie Lock, where he's just on the phone the whole time, but it's because he's driving in a car, and so the only way he can talk to the people that he needs to talk to are is on the phone.
Okay.
But I would enjoy a movie where a big chunk of it is two characters literally on the phone for 40 minutes just hashing things out, because that's how things happen in real life.
I was thinking there's a Chris Evans movie called Cellular that it's kind of like Speed, but with a cell phone instead of a bus. Like, he has to be on the phone the whole time because, like, a woman's in a hostage situation, and if she disconnects with him on the phone, he'll never be able to find her.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm thinking a little bit more, like, melodrama than that, but yes.
I know. I feel like that'd be like a stage play almost. Have them on two halves of the stage and just like a two-person play.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Like they're acting towards each other, but not.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing silly stuff that they would do while sitting on the phone. Like at one point, someone turns upside down on their chair or they lie on the floor.
And you could do something interesting with their, like, being a wall in between them, or, like, moving the wall, or they, like, both go to look at the mirror and they're, like, looking at each other but not.
Yeah.
I bet there's probably a play out there that has done that. Like, there's been all sorts of stage plays.
Yeah.
But
we're going to have more of this conversation with Chad and Troy next minute, so is there anything else you have for this specific minute?
No, it's the Gabriella stuff that's interesting and how confusing it is, but I think we elaborated on that enough.
Yes. So until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
On Tumblr at Wildcat Minute. If that's even possible, we might have gotten like deleted. I don't know. I can't log on to Tumblr anymore.
I have no idea. You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know if you can see our posts on Tumblr.
Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out if Chad and Troy are capable of showing empathy. You can bet on it.